Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio.
Are you stressed? Do you wake up screaming only to discover that you haven't fallen asleep yet? Have you ever asked the drive-thru attendant, "Can I get the order to go?" 77% of us regularly experience physical symptoms caused by stress. So where do we locate joy when peace is hard to find? Well, get outside. Limit time spent watching news. Whenever possible, walk instead of driving. Smile more. A smile triggers the release of hormones that make you feel happy and peaceful. Better yet, accept Jesus' invitation, "Come to me, and I will give you rest for your souls." He sees the sparrow fall, he's got you covered. Speaking of birds, why not buy some bird seed, then ask the clerk, "How long will it take for the birds to grow?"
This is Laugh Again with Phil Calloway. If you'd like to hear more and discover all things Laugh Again, visit us at laughagain.us. Laugh Again, truth bringing laughter to life.
Is anything too hard for God?
That seems like a reasonable question. And through the years, as Billy Graham studied the Bible, he knew the answer to that question, without a doubt.
First, there is no problem too hard for God to solve. Secondly, there is no place too hard for God to work. And then thirdly, there is no prayer too hard for God to answer. And lastly, there is no person too hard for God to save. Nothing is too hard for Him. My faith has been so strengthened as I have watched God at work.
God can do the impossible in your life too. Learn more at our website, findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. And it's from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the terrible events during the storming of the Capitol last week.
Many Americans are grieving over what has taken place in the last few months and what happened here in our nation's capital yesterday. Folks, we need to be in prayer. We need to be interceding for our nation, for our leaders. And yes, even when it looks like the odds are against us, the deck is stacked, we need to continue to work. And we can do that. I've seen it done before. We cannot give up. We have to continue, and we have to do it in the right way, in the right spirit, for the right purposes. There's too much at stake here. Too much for our families, our children, and literally the entire world.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com.
There's no getting around the fact that talking is necessary. But I read a piece of wise counsel that said, there is no reason to speak unless you can improve on silence. And silence is golden, the sages have observed. Solomon, a wise man, said there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. And the Apostle James advised that we ought to be slow to speak. Think about your words today. When you speak, make your words encouraging, edifying, hopeful, and full of good cheer. In other words, if silence is golden, make sure your words are more valuable than fine gold. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's golden words on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for coming along on board with us today and joining us in this broadcast as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. It's not based on ideological bent or some philosophical rhetoric. But what does the Word of God say? After all, that's the most important book. It's the truth book. Jesus says to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today, why would God allow evil men to steal this election? Have you thought about that? Why would God allow evil men to steal this election? Why is it that this is taking place in America? Is God still in control? Is God still on the throne? Is he ruling over all? If so, why is he allowing this to take place? Perhaps you've asked that question. Perhaps you've been seeking the Lord through prayer as to what we need to do, what direction we need to turn in. How should we respond? Well, the Lord Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am truth. It is the truth of the Word of God that ought to direct us in these evil days in which we're living. Yes, they are evil. The Bible calls them perilous times. The word perilous means evil, dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating, destructive. And those are the days that we're living in. And people are not seeking truth today. It seems to be something that is antithetical to human thought. But as the Lord Jesus himself says, I am truth. And then he points to God and he says, God's word, thy word is truth. It is the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that I commend to you today, especially in these troubled times, in these days in which we're living where it seems that right is wrong and wrong is right. And the Bible tells us that in the last days it will be that way. And we're seeing that. Truth is called a lie and a lie is called truth. This is goes back to the point of the secularist George Orwell. Many years ago, he said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We see that very thing taking place. This is the reason that I recommend Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians, seek the truth. listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And the turn of events that we've seen as a result, the final results of the November election, and then the election in the runoff election in Georgia, it's caused consternation, distress on the part of multitudes today as to what should we do? How should we respond? Why does God allow evil men to steal this election? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment and landscape lawn care equipment for the professional as well as the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. If you need a benchmark, a gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flowing 24/7, the American flag. Find that flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. And you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number today is 831-0917. 831-0917. I'd love to hear from you. How are you feeling about the election? What do you think God's doing? Why do you think God is doing it? How should we respond? It is a major question. How should we then live? Ladies and gentlemen, we witnessed, I believe, the most effective, the most blatant, in-your-face, offensive voter fraud in the 244-year history of America. Not just the presidential election, but the runoff election also, ladies and gentlemen, in Georgia. We have witnessed what I call a treasonous event in our nation. It's about 80 million Americans. About 80 million Americans are still reeling today in the stage of shock, sadness, disappointment, some in anger, some in hysteria, saying, I can't believe this happened. In fact, it's Jonathan Turley, a constitutional scholar, as he is called. This article says, Turley calls for no-holds-barred probe of the 2020 election. Constitutional scholar Jonathan Turley, a longtime Democrat, is calling for a no-holds-barred investigation of the 2020 vote because tens of millions of voters believe that the election was rigged. Turley, a law professor of George Washington University, said, quote, I do believe that a real commission is warranted. Indeed, the violence yesterday only further shows the deep division in this country over these lingering questions. However, there must be a commitment to a real commission, not another placebo commission. What is needed, he wrote, is an honest-to-God, no-holds-barred federal commission. He noted that an unprecedented election in the reliance of mail-in voting and the use of new voting system procedures. As a result of that, we need to review how that worked out, how it came down to the smallest precinct and hamlet in America. Possibly tens of millions of voters believe that the election was rigged and stolen. However, the integrity of our election depends on the faith of the electorate. So, ladies and gentlemen, he goes on to say that most of the cases challenged by the election was not decided. Listen, this is from a constitutional scholar. Most of the cases that were in the challenged in the election were not decided on merit. Indeed, it seems they haven't even been allowed for discovery. Instead, they were largely dismissed on judicial, jurisdictional, or standing under the doctrine that they were brought in too late. Those allegations need to be convincingly proven or disproven in the interest of the well-being of our country. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a several-page article, but that's the summary of what the constitutional attorney, Jonathan Turley, said. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding that discouragement, that sadness, and that shock, especially, ladies and gentlemen, across the nation among Christians and churches and pastors, those that prayed long, those that voted, those that sought God, those that were prayerful that God would give another 4 years for President Trump in office. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we see the socialist Marxist media continue to blame President Trump for all that the supporters had stood behind him, were standing for. They're blaming Trump. They're blaming we the people that supported him in every way imaginable. I believe we have a call on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes, the Israelis suffered greatly for 400 years in Egypt before God delivered them. Job suffered greatly before God delivered him. God allowed his own son, Jesus, to be beaten and crucified before he resurrected Jesus. And in the future, the saints will suffer greatly under the Antichrist for approximately 7 years before the second coming. So it seems to be a pattern, but requires faith and patience to hang in there until God sees fit to act.
Amen. Brother, you're right on target. I commend you for that succinct analysis with a good chronology and the overview of what we're looking at. And you're exactly right. That's what we're talking about today, because I'm wanting to encourage every believer, every Christian, everyone that voted for President Trump, not to be alarmed, not to be in some way discouraged. I understand that we are, in fact, discouraged, but not to be ultimately discouraged, because God has a plan. God has a purpose. God's not on vacation. God's not asleep. God's not dead. He's not sick. He hadn't even gotten the COVID-19 virus. He's still in authority. And I want all of our listeners to understand not only what you have said, which is correct, and I commend you for that statement, but the fact that we need to look to God, recognize that God's still on the throne, recognize that he's still in control, and that he is working all of this out according to his will for our nation. And today in this broadcast, we're going to talk about why we're going through this and what God is doing in this and how we should respond to this. But brother, thank you so much.
Dr. Youngblood, could I say another thing?
Yes, sir.
I've learned to be totally honest in my prayer time, and I told God, I said, you know, I'm irritated with you for not doing anything. And he, he's the boss, and so I had to repent of being annoyed at him. And when he chooses to do something, hallelujah. Until then, he's God, not me.
Amen. He's God, and as God, we need to look to him and praise him for whatever transpires, realizing that God is the one that is sovereign. He's the one that's in control. Though the minds and the hearts of men can do some things that are so horrific, they will wonder, how can God take this and use it for good for us individually and as a nation? But he is, and he will. But thank you for your insight. Keep on praying. Keep on looking up. Don't give up. God's still in control. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the question today, why would God allow evil men to steal the election? We're talking about the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that we have watched this election, and I have watched it intently. I've analyzed it, studied it, scrutinized it from every possible vantage point as to what was taking place in the process and now what has taken place after the election and the trajectory on which we're headed as a nation. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we see the socialist Marxist media, the socialist Marxist BLM Democrat Communist Party, all rejoicing over what has taken place in the election. But ladies and gentlemen, during the past 4 years, America has had the privilege of having, let me just give this succinctly. I have, through my research and preparation in the past several months about President Trump, have a list of over 125 things that we could speak of his accomplishments in the 4 years that God has used him as President of the United States of America. We have had the privilege, ladies and gentlemen, of having the best economic status notwithstanding the downturn because of the COVID lockdown and the irrational governors and mayors and the democratic cities and states that have destroyed the economy. But he's given us, through President Trump, the best economic status in history. We've had the protection of our Bill of Rights. Our Bill of Rights. Listen, some have asked me down through the months and years, why are you so passionate about these issues that intertwine with the political process? Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's our responsibility to pray for those that are over us, for those that lead us, and we're to pray for those that are presidents and princes and prime ministers and potentates, as I call them. We're to pray for them. Sometimes we need to pray God remove them, God change them, God get them out of the way. But we're to pray for them according to the scripture. But ladies and gentlemen, President Trump has protected our Bill of Rights. We have seen a president that has defended the right to life. A president that more than any other president in the history of America that's taken a position of the protection of the unborn more than any other president. America, ladies and gentlemen, through President Donald J. Trump, has done more for the Middle East peace plan, the peace process, than any other president. The Abraham Accord that's been developed, now I believe there's some five or six Arabic nations that have signed on to it that are coming on board to recognize and to welcome the existence of the nation of Israel. Now, that's a feat in and of itself. And I could go on and on and on. President Trump has defended the religious liberties, the freedom of speech, the right to keep and bear arms more than any other president in my lifetime. And that's less than 100 years. So why would God allow evil men to steal this election? Perhaps you've asked a similar question. Perhaps you've looked at it on the basis of what's God doing, especially as a Christian. And as our brother that just called a moment ago, basically coming before God and saying, why have you done this? And that's not an unusual position to be in as a Christian, as a human being. Here's an article. It's lengthy. We'll read several paragraphs for our edification because it sets the stage for what I'm wanting us to understand today in this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Jump in at whatever point and place you'd like to with the dialogue and discussion. This article says, God still governs in the affairs of men. So does God still govern in the affairs of man, the article says? Or has he taken a vacation? In the wake of the rampant Democrat-inspired voter fraud that raged across America in 2020 elections, and that will possibly reemerge in 2021, Georgia senatorial runoffs, one might wonder if the invisible hand of providence had been removed from the land of the free and the home of the brave, end quote. Further, the article states, why would God allow this evil to be successful and successfully stealing the presidential election and most likely numerous smaller races nationwide and appear to be getting away with it, end quote? Why would he allow Joe Biden to admit to voter fraud without consequence after stating, quote, we have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of the American politics, end quote. And ladies and gentlemen, that was a bragging point for Joe Biden. Of course, I believe in his cognitive debility and depletion. He didn't realize he was letting the secret out. I'm sure when he got home, his wife, Jill, said, honey, you're not supposed to tell people what we're doing. But that, absolutely, that's what they've done. Why would he allow the Democratic Party to thrive for nearly 200 years, during which time it has murdered and abused millions of black Americans as the party of slavery, the party of Jim Crow, the party of the KKK, the party of modern-day voting plantation in inner cities across America? Why would he allow the rhino Republicans and a consortium of swamp dwellers to serve as a shield for the Democratic Party that has almost completely transformed America into an unrecognizable pagan society, completely cut off from its Christian roots? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading from an article entitled, God Still Governs in the Affairs of Men. It is an article that I believe speaks for itself. Let me read you two or three other brief paragraphs before we talk about what we found here. Why would he allow Democratic Party to champion abortion for nearly 50 years, overseeing the bloody premeditated murder and dismemberment of over 70 million American babies, 20 million of which were black American babies? Why would he allow cowardly and evil courts across America, including the U.S. Supreme Court, with the exception of Justices Thomas and Alito, to betray America and refuse to adjudicate cases in swing states of rampant voter fraud arising from the 2020 U.S. presidential election? Why would he allow Communist China to spread a virus around the world and let disease be used in America as an instrument of fear, intimidation by evil, unscrupulous politicians and media organizations to keep Americans blind, controlled, and oppressed? Why would he allow the U.S. Constitution, a document made possibly by the spilled blood of countless American patriots, to be shredded in slow motion by treacherous domestic enemies and duplicitous foreign enemies like George Soros and the Chinese Communists to create a socialist communist America where we the people no longer govern, but still banned, but a small band of authoritarian tyrants and bureaucrats rule with an iron fist over an oppressed American people? The answer to these questions are not easy, this writer says, and I'm in agreement. The answer to these questions are not easy, but there are some reassuring things that we do know. And ladies and gentlemen, this writer says, the invisible hand of providence was seen in the 2016 election when America was at an earlier crossroads. The amazement of America and the world, Donald Trump was victorious over a spiritually and morally bankrupt Hillary Clinton. And it goes on for about two or three more pages, going into depth of the argument of why. So I've couched the question today, why would God allow evil men to steal the election? Ladies and gentlemen, we can't toss in the towel. We can't surrender and wave the white flag of surrender. We must understand that God has not brought us this far to forsake us. But we need to also recognize and understand, ladies and gentlemen, that perhaps as we've asked the question of why would God allow evil men to steal this election? First of all, ladies and gentlemen, we must realize that God is in charge. We must realize that God's still on the throne. We must realize that God has not gone to sleep. We must realize that God is still in control. He's not lost control. He's not surrendered the controls of this world. He's not had to go to plan B because plan A failed. He's still operating on plan A. He is sovereign. And in his sovereign control, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to have his way in this world. And part and parcel of that, I believe, is to get America's attention back on God, to bring our attention back to focus on him, to bring our worship and adoration and humility before him that we have lost. We've lost the legacy, ladies and gentlemen, I believe, of a nation that's founded on biblical principles, a nation that was founded based on godly men going back to the Word of God and designing and developing our founding documents that today ought to be used as the guidepoint for what we do and say in our nation, albeit that it's not today being done. Here's an article by Tony Perkins. It says, heaven is not shaken. This country has seen some dark days. There have been moments of unbelievable despair, like we witnessed in the Capitol, when everything seems to come apart at the seams. Those are the hours when the hopelessness we see looks nothing like the nation we thought it was and that we knew. Yet in almost 250 years, even the worst times have never defined us, and we can't afford to let it define us this time. What happened Wednesday? America wasn't America. We're not a bitter, desolate, violent people. We're a hurting people, a frustrated and divided people. We are not a people broken beyond repair. I know that because the vast majority of men and women at yesterday's rally weren't there to shadow windows and to trash offices. They didn't come to make Congressman crouch behind desk or to run down the hallways in terror. They came peacefully to air their grievances and ask for justice. Unfortunately, both will be harder to come by now. There are those who will say that the real villains of the siege were Antifa and some of the fascists in disguise. Further, Tony Perkins says, I denounce the lawlessness of this past year when the Democratic leaders watched in silence as our cities burned to the ground. I denounce it again today. Whatever yesterday's nightmare was meant to accomplish, the peaceful protesters and other conservatives are the ones that will suffer in the future. They'll be the ones, the Federalist Emily Jernensky laments, the decent Trump supporters who have been continually ignored, smeared, demeaned, and are now saddled with the baggage of violence that they didn't commit. Like every other conservative, they've been lied to by the media for years. They have been marked as racist by the elitist and peers alike. Their faith and values have been marginalized or canceled entirely. With no other sources to turn to, they turn to the man who seems to hear them. Now the case of so many election honesty, integrity, and transparency is in jeopardy because the instigators of this attack. Now here's what I want to read from Tony Perkins' article, ladies and gentlemen, that gets to the point of what I want us to talk about for the balance of this broadcast. Pastor Jack Hibbs, H-I-B-B-S, do not know him, but he was in part of the Washington March, and Tony Perkins is quoting him in his article. Tony Perkins, in quoting Pastor Hibbs, says this, I know that there's a sense of devastation, Pastor Jack Hibbs emphasized. I saw a man walking down the street this afternoon. He was well into his 70s, carrying an American flag all by himself. He was crying, and I don't know what the man was thinking, but it gripped my heart, he said. And what I want to say is this, there is hope. There's hope because Jesus Christ is still on the throne. There's hope because we've seen, even in the last election, what our movement can accomplish. The church cannot be criticized in this last election for not getting involved. The church did get involved. The Christians did get involved. The church did vote. And I want to say this to all that are out there. You cannot be discouraged right now. It is not going the way that we had hoped and prayed for. It appears that way. But God is on the throne. He knows exactly what's going on. Heaven is not shaken by this. The Word of God is not thwarted by this. What we need to do, Pastor Hibbs says, is to find out what the Lord wants us to do next. The last election may have been manipulated. It may have been corrupt, but the pastor is right, Tony Perkins says. We cannot give in to the turmoil that we saw on Capitol Hill. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the position that we ought to take. That God's still on the throne. God's not asleep. God's not on vacation. And we need to find out what God is doing and then be in tune with God and what he is doing in these last days, because we are in the last of the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the stage being set. We're watching the players, the actors going on the stage. We're watching through the screen or the windows darkly, if you will. We're watching as the stage is being set for the final curtain to fall, for the church to be raptured out. And the man of sin, the lawless one, the Antichrist, will step on the scene and carry out in full intent of what the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democrats have been trying to do for quite some time now. We're watching the preparation. God is preparing us for what he's going to do in the future. And the next thing on the calendar of God is the sudden seizure, the snatching out of the body of Christ the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that man of sin, the Antichrist, steps on the scene and carries out in full intent of that which the Bible tells us about in the Scripture, the eschatological Scripture, of the doom, of the devastation, the darkness, of the days of the tribulation. But I want us to understand as Christians, if you're saved, you won't be here. We will not be here as Christians during the days of the tribulation. So with that being said, how should we respond to this stolen election? Why would God allow evil men to steal this election? God's not asleep. He's not on vacation. He's still on the throne. We're going to talk about that right after our break. We're going to have at the top of the hour break for news for about a minute. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.